Off the Ball Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing interpros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 interpro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to a bonus Rugby Daily this Bank Holiday Monday. I'm Suzanne Mullen, and as you're winding down from your long weekend, I have just touched down in Paris as we inch closer to the opening match of the 2026 Six Nations. It's just 3 days to go now until Ireland take on France in that Thursday night kickoff at 9:10 French time in the Stade de France. The countdown has well and truly begun. So coming up on this first podcast of the week from Paris, we'll hear from Simon Easterby and James Ryan on Ireland's not-so-warm weather training camp in Portugal. England had named their team for the Six Nations opener against Wales on Saturday, with skipper Mauro Atoje named on the bench. And soon-to-be Connacht man Kieran Frawley will not be in contention for a green shirt this coming Thursday. Up first then, Off the Ball's Dara Smith-Nocton was in Portugal yesterday for Ireland's last press conference before they made the trip to Paris earlier today. Defence coach Simon Easterby spoke to media, starting out with an important update on Tadhg Furlong, who had been seen training separately from the group in Portugal earlier in the week as he recovered from a calf problem. This time on the other leg, however, than the ongoing calf injury he has been dealing with on and off for several months. But Easterby confirmed that the Tidehead prop was on track to face France this Thursday.
Just to start with, it looked like Tadhg Furlong was out there. He was topped out at least when we saw him. What sort of work did he get through today?
He got through some good work, actually. He's progressed really well. We've been happy with the majority of the lads who have been training, and some of them have come in with little niggles, but everyone's progressing really well, and we had everyone available to train today.
Is Tadhg on track to be available for Thursday, Sunday?
At the moment, yeah, I think today was important, and obviously tomorrow will be another important training day, but so far so good.
In terms of just the preparations in general here, how has it gone so far in comparison to maybe the start of November, when people were a little bit earlier into their season?
I think we always enjoy coming here. We get the opportunity to reconnect, because it's obviously a time when we've been away from each other. The provinces have been working away at their games, and then we get a chance to come here and get a great sort of chunk of work done in a short space of time. You know, we ask a lot of the players when they come in. A lot of demands on them, but they've been excellent throughout, and the youngsters coming in and really connecting up with some of the more senior players. You feel like you've been together for a couple of weeks when it's only a few days.
Although everyone was available to train yesterday in Quinto del Lago, Ireland remain without their first three choices on the other side of the scrum, with injuries to Andrew Porter, Paddy McCarthy and most recently Jack Boyle. In their absence, and with 20-year-old Billy Bone released back to the Ireland 15 squad, Munster's Jeremy Lochman and Michael Milne will both be vying for a start in that loose head position. And with no clear first choice, Easterby said the competition there has been excellent.
They'd be very good. I think Billy has stepped up as a young player as well, and he's impressed everyone. You know, he's got a very bright future ahead, and hopefully he'll get an opportunity on Friday night. The other bit of competition then for that loose head spot in Jez and Mikey has been excellent. I've just walked up from a scrum session there, and it looked like they were going after each other and working hard. So I think that's part of the challenge and the excitement around a couple of players who haven't been in for a while, and Jez and Mikey getting an opportunity to step up. Sometimes those things are forced. Sometimes they're in there for their form, and both of them have gone well. We've been really impressed with them. But it adds and keeps adding depth to our squad, which is exactly what we want when we're 18 months out of a World Cup.
The
having Ty and Finlay, I suppose, on the other side, fit and available as well, that brings some confidence to the front row output in total.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a lack of confidence in those guys. It's just that they haven't been playing at this level for a while, and you know, Jez has played, you know, a good bit of rugby, and Mikey as well, you know, a few niggles early season, but you know, they've both been performing for Munster, and you know, I think for that end, it's they're playing on the highest stage in Europe, and it's now an opportunity for them to step up and make their mark at the international level.
Although the French squad haven't been without injuries of their own, they've been buoyed by the return of talisman Antoine Dupont, who, barring a major surprise, will lead his team out for the first time in almost a year. Often nicknamed Le Petit Général for the way he organises his troops on the pitch, it's no surprise that Easterby was asked how he plans to limit Dupont's influence this Thursday.
What is the key to limiting Antoine Dupont's influence? And is it something as a defence coach that you look forward to, or does it keep you up at night?
No, it's exciting. You know, I think there's been plenty of speculation around who's the best player in the world and et cetera, over the last few weeks. And there's always a debate around those types of players. And you know, France probably were lucky that they've had a couple of very good nines to step up when Dupont has been away. But, you know, he's a heartbeat of their team. He makes their team tick and he makes things happen. You know, that's just him as a player. He probably breeds a bit of confidence in their ranks. But that for us is an exciting challenge. And I think it's one that, you know, if it was keeping me up at night, then I'd be in the wrong place. And you know, I think that's what playing in the Six Nations is all about. You get the chance to play against some of the best players in the world in some of the best environments and the best stadiums. No better place to be.
Are ground defensively for face the French side, are they more unpredictable? Matthew Jalibert at 10, or maybe Thomas Rhodes at 10, as opposed to Roman Edgemaker? How different a challenge is that from Jalibert at 10?
I think that whoever steps up at first receiver, whether it be Ramos, Jalibert, obviously Ntamack won't be doing that against us. You have to have the ability to defend that player, but there's so many other threats, isn't there, in their team. So I think that's the challenge of playing any French side. You know, our ability to shut them down, take away time and space, you know, that's what they thrive on. You know, they'll gain energy from offloads and creating opportunities, but our challenge is to make sure that we're nicely connected and we keep going after them and don't give them the opportunities that Jalibert in particular and Ramos have shown, you know, during the last few months in Europe.
Stepping into his ninth Six Nations campaign, Leinster second row James Ryan is well used to the hype surrounding the tournament, both at home and away at this stage. Although he still feels the buzz every time the tournament kicks off, he also knows it's vital to focus the mind once the crowds pack out the iconic Paris Stadium.
Do you still get that same excitement when you start a Six Nations campaign? I know it's, I think it's 8 years since your very first campaign. Do you still get that same buzz when you're on the team sheet and in the camp in the lead up?
Yeah, you do. It's such an amazing tournament and you never get used to it, to be honest. We're all just very excited. What a way to kick off the competition this Thursday in Paris. You know, we can't wait to get going. So. No, it never feels normal. Every year it feels really special. So
I think Big Start is definitely unbelievably important for us, and you know, they get the tails up, but then, you know, the crowd get behind them and they're into their flow. So you know, a fast start for us is always important, but yeah, particularly so this weekend. I think going away from home over in Paris, you got to start well, definitely.
You're both going to draw a line in the sand when it comes to mauls and scrums, because French home side get it. The drive going and more kind of top of the scrums, they really seem to thrive up that, club sides and their international sides.
100%, yeah. I think France is driving more than any other team, I think, in the world at the moment. So, you know, that line-out drive and the scrum, as you said, a huge part of their DNA, and probably something that gives them a lot of belief. So, yeah, so it's a big challenge for us as well up front in terms of the set piece. So we're unbelievably excited about that too. Yeah, probably the atmosphere is a little bit different. It's a bit of a step up. Certainly the noise levels. I remember, you know, we played there a few years ago and there was a couple of issues in terms of communication, guys not hearing things, and just because it's a little bit different, you know what I mean, the noise is huge. So it probably falls back on that just sort of focus and concentration piece, making sure that, you know, you're unbelievably present, so we can do our job there. But you know, as well as that, like, I think an occasion like this, you know, you can sort of be inward and let it sort of get to you, or you can see it as sort of an opportunity and something to get excited about. And I think that's the main thing trying to get across to some of the younger guys is to, you know what I mean, you need to attack games like this. So hopefully we can do that.
Andy Farrell will name that team to lead Ireland in the opening battle Tuesday morning, bright and early at 8 a.m. Irish time. And I'll be on hand to bring you all of his comments on the selections as he answers questions from the team hotel. You can catch all of that and more in tomorrow's Rugby Daily, brought to you by Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Already certain not to be in that matchday 23, however, is Leinster but soon to be Connacht man Kieran Frawley. Alongside Billy Bone and Bryn Ward, Frawley did not make the trip to Paris, but instead returned home from Ireland's training camp in Portugal yesterday to link up with the Ireland 15 squad ahead of their clash against England A in Thomond Park on Friday night. This news came as a surprise to many, including Irish legend Brian O'Driscoll, who thought he would be in the running to be named at fullback on Thursday. But with Frawley out of the race and Hugo Keenan injured with that fractured thumb, it narrows the competition down to Jamie Osborne, Jacob Stockdale or Jack Crowley. Although Osborne was first choice in Keenan's absence in November, he has not played any rugby since injuring his shoulder against Japan in that Autumn Nations series. With experience at fullback for both Ireland and Munster, Ireland assistant coach Andrew Goodman himself cited Crowley as an option at 15 earlier in the week. And with Osborne's limited game time and Stockdale's occasional trouble under the high ball, Andy Farrell might be tempted to go for Crowley in that fullback position, with the added bonus of getting two of his playmakers on the pitch at the same time. Time will tell and all will be revealed tomorrow morning, but for now we turn our attention to England, who have already announced their team for their Six Nations opener against Wales on Saturday. The big news is that skipper Mauro Itoje will not lead the team onto the pitch in Twickenham this weekend, with head coach Steve Borthwick naming him on the bench. As Itoje has been grieving the death of his mother Florence this past week, Borthwick said, quote, "It is the right thing for him and the team." In his place, it's veteran Jamie George who will lead the side from hooker, joined in the front row by Ellis Genge and Joe Hayes. Alex Coles and Ollie Chesman form an all East Midland second row. Bath duo Guy Pepper and Sam Underhill are on the flanks, and Ben Earl packs down at number 8. Halfbacks Alex Mitchell and George Ford get the nod at 9 and 10, with Northampton's Tommy Freeman and Fraser Dingwall partnering in the centre. Freeman's selection at 13 marks just his third test at outside centre and makes room for Henry Arundel to show off his pace on the wing. Emmanuel Feyi-Wabuso is named on the other wing, and Freddie Stewart lines out at fullback. Joining Itoje on the bench, it's a 6-2 split, with Luke Cowan-Dickey, Bevan Rod, Trevor Davison, Tom Curry, Henry Pollock, Ben Spencer and Marcus Smith. That is a wrap on today's episode of Rugby Daily. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your fix, so you don't miss an episode all this week as I bring you the latest updates from Paris. I'm Susanna Mullen, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you tomorrow. Chat to you then.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily. With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.